This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Four, Jay Dyer's about to take over. I got one more call. Sky in Washington about to cram in. Great job of the crew today, as usual. But David Icke has it at davidicke.com. It's on Infowars.com. A full transcript from the Dutch translation of the EU saying you're a Type 3 terrorist. And you read it and it says, you believe there's a tyrannical world government. You believe that we're trying to take people's rights. You believe we're trying to take people's speech, so you can't come here and give a speech because you're bad, even though they're taking everybody's rights. So it's just absolutely insane. You got to read it for yourself. It's on Infowars.com. And it's multinational corporations through think tanks, just like in the DHS documents that came out this week, spying on the American people and others. This is true tyranny, and it's the last desperate place these tyrants hide. They're doing this through weakness, not strength. Here is Klaus Schwab. Don't forget, we penetrate the cabinets. Here is bragging about taking over your governments. You try to talk about it, you get banned from entering the European Union, and next you get banned from leaving your house, and next you can't pay your bills, you're taken to a FEMA camp, which the Democrats claim we're trying to do to them, but that's their actual plan. Here it is.
And I have to say, when I mention our names, like Mrs. Merkel, even Vladimir Putin and so on, they all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. But what we are very proud of now, the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina and so on, that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Minister Trudeau, and I would know that half of this cabinet, or even more, half of this cabinet are actually young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
And that's true in Argentina, too. Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's true in Argentina as well.
It's true in Argentina, and it's true in France now. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the president, who is a young global leader, but what is important for me...
So he wants to talk about it, normalize it, but if you point it out, you get banned. They're weak. They're not strong. Sky in Washington State, final caller ahead of Jay Dyer. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. God's peace be with you all, and the grace of God be with you all the listeners, and you, Alex. Now, you were talking about Jocelyn Elders earlier, and I just want to say that growing up, learning Jesus loves you, this I know, was a great thing to learn. Well, Jocelyn Elders here, as you pointed out, is on record wanting to teach masturbation in school. And I have a few citations here, like the New York Times article, quote, she had condoned teaching school children to masturbate. That was 1994. We were looking at the BMJ. She said masturbation could be an appropriate subject to teach in school. I'm looking at the Stanford report, where she says, quote, I absolutely did this job as I felt it should be done. And I also sent you some video clips. She's on the Today Show in 1994 talking about this. And
Well, we know she said it. It's on the record, but I remember hearing the audio. I could never find it again. Thank you for calling in with those great citations. I'm told we have the clip. Guys, go ahead and roll it.
Long advocate of a comprehensive health education program, if you will, starting at a very early age. I feel that it should be age appropriate, it should be complete, and we need to teach our children all of the things that they need to know. And we know that many of our parents have difficulties teaching certain things. And for that reason, to make sure that all of our children were informed, I've always felt that we should make it a part of our school. I feel it's the only institution that we have where all of the children go. And presently, in our schools, it's very incomplete. It's very spotty. And only 5% of schools have a comprehensive program. To address your specific question in regard to masturbation. I think that that is something that it's a part of human sexuality, and it is a part of
something. All right, we're out of time. Jay Dyer's coming up, and on the Saturday show, I'll cover it.
I don't promote things unless they really work. When it comes to politics or culture, economics, we are always the cutting edge, the tip of the spear. And when we talk about the products at InfoWarsStore.com, they all blow you away. If you'll just take them, if you'll just try them, I know you'll be repeat customers. And finally, one of our best-selling products, sold out for months, is back in stock. It's X3. It's all three types of the very best atomic iodine out there that supercharges your energy, your stamina, your libido, and number one, your immune system. So X3, despite the fact it was run on iodine, is still on sale at 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com, and it funds the InfoWar, which is a 360 win. If you've not experienced the power of iodine, it takes 2 weeks to kick in on average, you've got to go to InfoWarsStore.com and get X3 50% off. X3 50% off, InfoWarsStore.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis, and I wanted to talk about how we got to where we are in terms of this revolutionary nihilistic philosophy that has pretty much taken over the West, the elites of the Western world, and how the dogma that has been accepted is pretty much a dogma related to expanding that neoliberal, post-human, technocratic, dystopian order to the whole globe. In order to understand how we got to where we are, it's very important to understand the 20th century, what led to the conflicts of the 20th century. As you know, we've covered in many lectures Dr. Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope and his other books like The Anglo-American Establishment, how those texts show the planning behind the Cold War. I'm going to skip World War I and World War II. I've covered those at length in the past, but particularly the Cold War, which you could say is World War III, was intentionally set up so that we could have the infrastructure of technocracy built. I'm not saying there wasn't a real Cold War, that people weren't really ideologically battling, but we do have a win in on the part of what Quigley calls democratic capitalism that ends the Cold War. But what set up the Cold War, this Iron Curtain, was with the intention at the time of the Cold War to have an American century and an American predominance. And so the reason for the Iron Curtain, for example, comes out of George Kennan and the American century notion or doctrine, where he wrote, quote, this is a declassified document. We have 50% of the world's wealth, but 6% of the population. In this situation, we cannot fail to object to the envy and resentment of the rest of the world, he's saying. Our real task is the coming period to devise a pattern of relationships which will permit us to maintain this position of disparity without positive detriment to our national security. To do so, we will have to dispense with all the sentimentality, the daydreaming, and put our attention upon and concentrate upon everywhere our immediate national objectives. We need not deceive ourselves that we can afford this luxury of altruism in this world of in this world. So he's basically saying that we're going to have a reality, a realpolitik at this Cold War period. And there's analysis given by F. William Ingdahl, where he notes that America's leading post-war planners have been involved in this 1959 War and Peace Studies project of the New York Council on Foreign Relations. In other words, Kennan at the CFR had put this out. This would be part of the guiding philosophy in terms of geopolitics and foreign policy in terms of the United Nations. So this is actually a report given to the United Nations. And the point at this point was to have the architects of a post-war U.S.-dominated global policy. They, however, chose not to call it an empire. Instead, the United States would project imperial power under the guise of a colonial liberation policy. Support for thus democracy and free markets would be central to this projection of power and this extension of empire. Most effectively, it would then combat the diabolical propaganda in terms of what the USSR was putting out. In other words, now we have to fight the war in a new way, the Cold War. But the American century is key because we tend to think, when we hear this, we think of this as what would be in the best interest of the average American citizen. And unfortunately, that's not the case. And I want to be fair. I know, understand the nuances here, that the Cold War was a reality that was very complex. And in many cases, many people in the intelligence apparatus that were fighting for this, for Western freedom and whatnot, they were fighting on the basis of classical liberal Western ideas, going back to, Roman law, common law, et cetera. And they're fighting on the basis of Halford Mackinder's Heartland, Rimland theory, right? That controlling Eurasia is the key to controlling and having the upper hand in terms of global dominance. When Brooks Adams, for example, is involved in setting a lot of U.S. policy in the 1950s, this was precisely the justification that he had for the American global empire. And that was because at the CFR, they had determined, along with the Mackinder thesis, that you had to control the heartland, the Eurasian heartland, in order to control the rest of the globe. At the same time, Brzezinski, in his famous Grand Chessboard book, wrote that the United States must, in terms of Eurasia, control this. Eurasia is of the first import for its control of geostrategy. And the purposeful management of this geostrategic dynamic states that, in other words, to put it in a terminology that harkens back to the more brutal age of ancient empires, the three grand imperatives of imperial geostrategy are prevent collusion, maintain security dependence amongst the vassals, and to keep tributaries pliant and protected. This keeps the barbarians from coming together. In other words, this is a quote from Brzezinski, that the American approach is an empire. It's an empire. It's an American imperium. But it's under the guise, it's under the cloak of humanitarian democracy, free markets, etc. And unfortunately, until we recognize the reality of this, the power structure behind the Western Imperium is very powerful private families, private interests like the Rockefellers, who do not have it in everyone else's best interest to have an American empire that supports actual Americans. This is what people can't fathom, and this is why we've never really been able to get anywhere in terms of stopping the takeover of our country and our devolving into this collapse that we're now in, is that we've never been able to face up to and recognize who's really running things. The Fortune 100, the Fortune 500 are not, we think of these as a free market. We think of these as entities that are fighting against the regulations of big government and all that. Well, that is true at a certain degree, at a certain level. But everybody can see nowadays it's completely uncloaked, especially with all of the Fortune 100, Fortune 500 that attend Davos, Bilderberg, et cetera, that they're all on party with the same plan. They're all on the same game plan. They're all party to the same strategy, which is to implement a technocracy that is Malthusian, anti-human, post-human. Now, why do we go back to all that Cold War stuff? Well, today what I want to try to do is chart the course from the end of the Cold War to the rise of the War on Terror to the putting on the back burner of the War on Terror to suddenly now the war on humanity, the war on viruses, the war on whatever the next phase of this global war is. The war became global, not just in World War I and World War II, but also in the Cold War, and that prepared the way for the War on Terror. And the big geopolitical strategists who write about this talk about that. So it's not a conspiracy theory, it's just a fact of the process of geopolitics. And so this is where we got to the point where it's necessary to invade all of these countries, to police the world and whatnot. It's because of the maintenance of a global empire that is not run for American interests. It's a cabal, a clique, that brought American foreign policy back under the sway of interventionism and being the global policeman, being the engine of a secret shadow government. I covered that in the last several talks here in the fourth hour with the Milner book, with the Fabian Society, with talking last week about shadow government and going all the way back to Plato, secret societies and the perfect ideal republic, which is the technocracy. It's modeled on Plato's republic. And so that same inner secret cabal running things with a shadow, a puppet governmental front of elected leaders is precisely how the Western world is run. And we are still at a stage when people cannot figure this out. I had a conversation with somebody who was talking about a very prominent figure, and this prominent figure, who's very intelligent, is just so terrified of talking about the notion of, quote, conspiracy. Well, why would we think that, quote, conspiracy is something abnormal when, if you read even just history, let's not talk about geopolitics, let's talk about history. Isn't history full of conspiracy, courtly intrigues? Well, absolutely. History is full of assassinations and wars and spies and espionage. It's all across everybody's history. So the norm in history is actually conspiracy. It's not abnormal. But we live in a day when the population is so dumbed down that they don't even know American history. They can't find America on a map. But we have to know these things if we're going to figure out the solution to what we're really up against. Don't go anywhere. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can't. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We're charting the history of the 20th century up to today, which got us to this disastrous place of the emergence, the uncloaking of the technocratic post-human world order. And I'm charting that course from the Cold War to the War on Terror to where we are now. And after the Cold War, as the Cold War began to wind down, when we had entities like Harvard and the economists out of Harvard and studies that were done in the RAND Corporation preparing for the sort of dissecting and looting of Russia, which occurred in the 1990s. This was actually covered, I think, in some congressional inquiries in the 1990s. The Harvard crew that went in and sort of divided up Russia and a lot of the resources, privatized it. This was through collusion with a lot of former KGB colonels, as well as Russian mafia individuals, some of whom Putin later arrested and sort of deported. And that has a lot to do with today's drama when it comes to Russia. I'm not going to go into all that. But if you don't know, of course, the RAND Corporation was founded in concert with the Air Force under Curtis LeMay. That's who's lampooned in Dr. Strangelove. Then we have the under JFK, a lot of studies being done in terms of the Cold War via RAND. And by the time we get to Brzezinski, who helps to basically end the Cold War and bring the Soviet Union to a halt, to a collapse, this is done through the Afghanistan operation when Brzezinski utilizes the Mujahideen as a way to bog down Russia in the Soviet conflict there. And this leads to further pressure on Russia, or the Soviet Union, I should say. And as we said, when the wall falls, when the Soviet Union collapses, the IMF is who really is the key player to come in with these Harvard economists and to divvy up and loot the country. And so this was done as a kind of privatization, personal, private, corporate debt restructuring, you could say, to try again to further dismantle and destroy this country. And this is no different, actually, than what we saw in World War One and World War Two, when, according to Dr. Quigley, you had a lot of these elite planners, a lot of these people that came in and restructured these countries after the wars to be in an IMF World Bank debt model. And we saw the IMF World Bank, those are Fabian institutions that are intended ultimately to bring about a kind of Fabian socialism, which is not anti-capitalist, but united with monopoly capital. This is what helps us understand the last few months of news when it comes to Ukraine and the Nord Stream pipeline, because turns out the pipeline battles are a huge issue, a key factor in a lot of this, because in terms of the New World Order from the Western Atlanticist perspective, this is about the control of energy and the control and dominance of resources. And so a lot of times when we hear about the human rights abuses and the need to go into these various countries for human rights abuses, it turns out that was a cloak for Western black ops, Western operations, ultimately as serving private interests. So this doesn't benefit us average Americans. The fact that a private corporation is getting access to a market isn't really helping us out. It's only helping out those private interests. And I'm not a socialist. I'm not saying that we should nationalize all the oil or anything. It doesn't work that way. It's more of a bigger power play. And if it was really about the resources in terms of, if we were told, well, we have to get those resources because we need it for our country, because we use so much oil, we're overextended. But then why does Biden shut down pipelines? Why does Biden shut down American oil? So this is just a further level of excuse for these foreign escapades to go into these other countries. And it's not even in the long, long term about getting the oil. That's a big piece of this. That was a big part of Desert Storm and all that as well. And it's a big part of who's going to give, you know, put their pipeline and their oil and their natural gas and all that into the Ukraine servicing Europe, right? And so the pipeline battle is a big part of it, but even that isn't really the end goal. The end goal here goes beyond entities like Halliburton and the different contractors and Raytheon and Boeing and all the military industrial complex. It actually goes to a long-term game of bringing about a full-on global technocracy. And a lot of people think that in order to get to that stage, to shut off, you know, it's necessary at this phase to shut off Russian energy, Russian oil throughout that corridor, and eventually bring about a giant global conflict. Now, I don't know whether that'll happen. A lot of people think it might happen. It's very necessary. People think that what's going on now might trigger that. People thought that when we had the South Ossetia crisis, in 2008, 2010, somewhere in there. And so I don't know what will cause this. People thought, oh, it'll be North Korea. Oh, it'll be China. Who knows? But in my view, it's very possible that, given what we have in State Department Memorandum 200, which is an official document under Nixon through Henry Kissinger to accept population control, first on the third world, but also eventually in the domestic population. So we know that the eventual goal is to have a drastic reduction in global population. And we know that that could come about through global war, but it also might come about through other means, new viruses, new releases, this kind of stuff. Monkeypox, Ebola, whatever, right? COVID-2300, whatever the next instantiation of the mutation of COVID might be. Any of those things might be the way to eventually reduce the population. Because remember, population is also a human resource, according to the global elite. And they believe that eventually the human resource of human population will no longer be needed. And in fact, that they're just something in the way of progress. And so the reduction of the population down to 90-95%, in other words, getting rid of 90-95%, is an actual government project and policy. Now, I don't think Kissinger's documents say, I want to kill 95% of the world. But other people in government, other people who are advisors and consultants do have that philosophy, do have that view. And we have to understand that that's the overall objective. That's never going to change from the vantage point of these people. They really have adopted that Malthusian perspective. It's the official philosophy of the United Nations, which is one of the Fabian institutions that these people put together, the Rockefellers especially, in concert with the Milner-Fabian group. That philosophy of UNESCO, according to Julian Huxley, who wrote the philosophy of UNESCO, is a drastic reduction in the world's population by any and all means. So the real reason for the pushing of the sexual confusion, degeneracy, all of this stuff, isn't about anyone's rights. It's about depopulation. The real reason for going into these countries, aside from the control of resources and energy, isn't really about anyone's rights. It's not even ultimately about the control of resources, although that is a key important factor here. It's about the eventual drastic reduction of population. So again, people on our side who analyze this stuff that are called conspiracy theorists, we don't know the exact means by which they're going to play all these cards or try to bring this about. It might be global war, and there's a good possibility that we could see World War III, or World War IV, to be specific. It could kick off as a result of this conflict. Who knows? I don't think that Putin wants that. But I also feel like, you know, with biolabs and all the information that came out about the biolabs in Ukraine, that Russian and the several years, 8 years or so of attacks on that border, they felt the necessity to make this move, whether you think it was a wise move or not. That was the reason for it. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to look at the global conflict.
Look, I'm not bragging. It's just a fact. the globalists hate InfoWars more than any other independent media organization in the world because they hate Americana. They hate populism. They hate grassroots. They hate you. And they see me as a symbol of you. Somebody that knows what's going on, who's informed, who loves freedom, and isn't scared of them. But the only reason we've had this incredible success in the fight against tyranny is because of you. And the enemies of America, your enemies, are coming after us more than ever. That's why your commitment is more important than ever at InfoWarsStore.com. Incredible products you need that empower yourself, your family, and your community at the same time, funding the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty. So please visit InfoWarsStore.com today. We have the biggest sale of the year, up to 50% off. With promo code 1776, you get an additional 10%. That's 60% off at InfoWarsStore.com. Thanks for your support. God bless and good luck. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. We were covering the history of the Cold War, and now I want to talk about how that will transition into the War on Terror when we come to the late 80s and early 90s. And this, again, sets the stage for the next phase of the empire in terms of its decay and in terms of its transformation into its next business phase. And, again, I'm not anti-American. I'm not criticizing America or American proper. I think there's a lot that's positive to be said for the classic idea of America in terms of what its founders envisioned it to be in terms of the Constitution and a non-interventionist republic. You know, a lot of the stuff that Ron Paul talks about all the time. I think those are great points and positive things to be said about classic Americana. But as everybody knows, if you listen to a lot of my talks, if you listen to the lectures that we've done over the years going through Quigley and others, you know, this was basically transformed out of a non-interventionist, non-involved, we don't want to be involved in European wars and conflicts in the 1940s and 50s. That changed when the national security state was established, right? When we got this sort of shadow intelligence government set up. Now, it was already being co-opted back under Woodrow Wilson, under the inquiry, under Colonel Edwin Mandel House. That was already in process, but it didn't really occur until we get up to the time of FDR, and then we get up into the time of Bill Donovan, the beginning of the OSS. That's when we really get this this inner group set up again by British intelligence to bring back things back into the attitude of the European conflict and the European the British imperial model. Remember this Halford Mackinder strategy and setup and characterization of the world is out of the British imperial model of running the world. And so America de facto sort of adopted that strategy, that model. This is what we get with Brzezinski and his many decades of strategizing, as well as Kissinger, them both working together in concert with, you know, the Rockefeller model for global population depopulation and control. And remember as well that this is not disconnected from Klaus and Davos and the World Economic Forum. In fact, it was Kissinger, the CIA. They're the ones that really picked out Klaus and set up the World Economic Forum. It's an extension of that Harvard project. So these are not different things. They're all just extensions of the same group, the same power structure, the same model of global governance. And it is not about the stuff that they portray in the propaganda. It's not about bringing freedom and democracy to these people. It's about extending the strategies of control and the techniques of control, including things like color revolution, which are a technology, according to Gene Sharp, according to other people in the National Endowment for Democracy, these think tanks that sit around and cook up, Rand Corporation, they cook up these techniques of regime change, not because they want to make things better, but because they want to extend the model, ultimately, of Malthusianism that is the modus operandi, the operating system of the Atlanticist Western power bloc. That's the ultimate goal. And so it's a postmodern imperialism. It's a post-human imperialism that is being extended. And there may be, of course, there's bad stuff going on by the people that are picked out, right? We pick a dictator in another country, right? You pick Saddam, or you pick a leader like Assad, right, who is actually very popular. And is there corruption in government? Sure, there's corruption in every government. But you'll notice that it's very arbitrary. It's very low level. Oh, they threw a baby out of an incubator, which is all fake. Oh, somebody used sarin gas. Assad is gassing his people. That turned out to be all fake. And so we notice that, again, it's a constant provocation, and I think that it's very possible that we'll see more of that. We've seen Ghost of Kiev, you know, a bunch of fake stories already in regard to the Ukraine conflict. So it could get much worse. It could get in terms of a, you know, big-scale false flag involving big-scale bombs, right? It could get really bad. Excuse me, but the point here is that as we move out of the Cold War, the reason that we have the War on Terror was that this was seen to be a useful strategy for primarily targeting and reorganizing the Middle East. Russia had been looted in the 90s, and so they weren't really seen as a huge conflict. But remember, at this time, Putin had booted out several of the oligarchs, so to speak, who then went back, I think, to the UK and were kind of hiding out in London. And at the same time, we had this breaking up and destabilizing of the Soviet bloc after this period. This was a Brzezinski strategy as well, known as the Arc of Crisis. And this is a strategy of engineered chaos, engineered crisis, partly for regime change, but also to reorganize and reorient all of the post-Soviet bloc satellite nations into a pro-Western, pro-democratic, pro-American strategy. But again, it's not about America, not about democracy, not about free markets. It's about Fortune 100, Fortune 500 having access to these countries and to control these markets. And we saw that when we covered Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. That was an old strategy back then. The Bolshevik Revolution was engineered by Wall Street. No different, we fast forward to today, go 100 years into the future from that time. Bolger to now, it's the exact same. Fortune 100, Fortune 500, big banks, big fans of revolution, regime change, toppling leaders. And that doesn't mean that the leaders in charge were angels, sweetie cakes, were not corrupt. I'm sure every government has corruption. That's the reality here. And it doesn't mean that I agreed necessarily with if they were socializing and nationalizing their resources. I don't necessarily agree with that. But that was the decision of those countries, right? And so what, Gaddafi, right, he tried to nationalize things. Assad, doesn't he? I think he believes in nationalizing oil and the Ba'athist approach, right, of the Ba'athist Party. That was actually set up by an older CIA plan, by the way, if you read the Miles Copeland text. But Miles Copeland, in his famous Game of Nations memoirs, you know, the CIA operative, he talks at length about utilizing terror, utilizing terrorists all throughout the Middle East as a strategy that the CIA had used quite profusely. And, of course, the same thing occurred in the 1979 conflict when it was the Brzezinski strategy to recruit the Mujahideen. Then the Mujahideen begins to they sort of, in my view, they stay on the Western intelligence payroll and Rolodex to give them a call if they're needed. And this might have something to do with the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. It might have something to do with the Big Nine event. So this takes us up to the time of 9/11. Well, actually, before that, we should mention other conflicts like NATO bombing Bosnia, NATO bombing Serbia. And this allowed for certain conflicts, certain strategies against, again, Russian influence areas to be pushed back. And then we had in 1999 the bombing of the Chinese embassy. And this was done by a U.S. jet, which was a false flag to enrage and embarrass the Chinese. I'm not pro-China. I'm just saying that this was part of this overall phases of these conflicts towards the end of the Cold War, moving into the War on Terror. Then, of course, we have the big 2001 Big Nine event of the Bin Laden, gets the blame immediately within seconds after the Big Nine event. This kicks off the international global War on Terror. And some people have thought that really the Big Nine event was kind of the initiation of the big World War IV, right? We could say if the Cold War is World War III, then the big nine event, 9/11, is the initiation perhaps of World War IV, because today's conflicts that we see in the Ukraine, all of this is still part of this big global war. Now, it's a global war fought not by nation states primarily, but by shadow inner core groups utilizing various things like, in the case of the Big Nine event, we have the Seven Nations Plan of General Wesley Clark, right, which kicks off and utilizes, again, a lot of these arc of crisis model. That was for the Middle East, the Seven Nations Plan. And then utilizing still that principle of arc of crisis, according to Brzezinski. And the War on Terror then is the, in many ways, many people think, and many analysts think, really the beginning of the degradation of the U.S. military. So the U.S. military begins to be degraded, demoralized, and you might even argue that ever since 9/11, this is a long-term demoralization and degradation strategy by some of these global elites to eventually shed America, to displace the importance of America in the global scheme and move on into that full-on global governance. We're going to get there, and we got to eventually shed the engine of America pushing the global order and move into something future. That's where we get to Great Reset.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
At Simply Safe Home Security, your safety is the only thing that matters. So this holiday season, we're giving you 40% off any new system, because feeling secure in your home is a gift that everyone deserves. Named Best Home Security of 2022 by U.S. News & World Report, Simply Safe protects your whole home with advanced technology, powered by 24/7 professional monitoring. Visit simplysafe.com/holiday to save 40% today. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
My heart was racing just making spaghetti. I could have waited to tell my doctor, but I didn't wait.
I was short of breath just reading a book. I could have delayed telling my doctor, but I didn't wait.
They told their doctors and found out they have atrial fibrillation, a condition which makes it about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. If you have one or more of these symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness, this is no time to wait. Contact your doctor.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker, or whether you're a school teacher, or whether you're a scientist, or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to GCNTaxCut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. GCNTaxCut.com, GCNTaxCut.com.
I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis, and when we were covering the last 20 years, at least, since the Big Nine event, we were getting to the point of how the neoconservative model, the Bush era preemptive strikes and false flags and this kind of stuff, kind of gave way to a different model, of the Brzezinski era with Obama, and that doesn't mean that there was any change in the long-term goal or game plan. In fact, they all have the exact same long-term goal and game plan. In fact, there's a great book called Afghanistan Invisible Empire by Gould and Fitzgerald, which argues basically that Brzezinski more or less is a neocon. It really doesn't matter at that level what the political party differences are. But when we get to that level of a Kissinger or Brzezinski, you know, these big level strategists, they may just disagree on the game plan, not the end goal. And so this helps to explain, by the way, why today's Democrat Party, all the Democrat leaders, the top Democratic people, they don't really seem too different than a lot of the neocons. In fact, they enforce all of the same top-down tyrannical control. They try to shut down anybody who disagrees, the censorship, all of these, which are supposedly right-wing fascist ideas, right? And we know the neocons were influenced by Strauss, who was a big fan of the Nazi strategy. We know that the neocons were influenced by Trotsky. They were neo-Trotskyites. So they had a weird mix of revolutionary, tyrannical, top-down fascist control. The Democrats nowadays are pretty much the same. They operate with the same type of strategy, and that's why we don't see any difference in terms of foreign policy with today's Democrats. They do the exact same stuff that we saw neocons doing several years ago. The only difference might be that, you know, with somebody like Bush, you might get just a straight up preemptive strike, right? And then what we have with the Brzezinski Obama style, or today's a Biden administration, which is really just an extension of kind of the Obama approach, is to use the proxy war, use proxy soldiers, use these other strategic approaches rather than the straight up warfare approach of the neocons. So really, that's kind of the only difference. It's just a difference in approach, but it's the exact same strategies. There's no difference in these strategies. And this is why we never see any change in the foreign policy. Foreign policy is never any different. It doesn't, because it doesn't matter who's in charge. There might be a little bit of difference here and there on something like Iran. But other than that, there's not a whole lot of difference between these different groups of the neocons and the so-called liberals. When we come to the Ukraine crisis, this kicked off right around 2014 with the Western aided coup in the Ukraine. And that doesn't mean the previous governments were good guys. It just means that for many years you had, for example, on record, Soros putting money into the Orange Revolution in Ukraine going back to the 80s and 90s. And that was part of that color revolution model, and the CIA and the National Endowment for Democracy and the Republican Institute, all these different groups, these NGOs and private groups, which formerly this stuff in the Cold War might have been done by the CIA. Now it's being done by these cover NGO operations. And that's nothing new either. We saw that going all the way back to the Wall Street, the Bolshevik Revolution, when the corporations that were running the Bolshevik Revolution were using foreign aid as cover. The Red Cross. Remember this? Well, now it's U.S. aid, right? It's these kinds of covers that are used for this stuff. And in 2014, you had the coup in Ukraine, and we're never told in the West what the real reasons for that are. Of course, we're told that Putin wants to take over the world. He wants to set up a new Soviet Union. And we're not told about, you know, the warfare for many years on the border. We're not told about the bio labs that are there that are working on, genetic, gene-specific, race-specific bioweapons, which is mentioned in the PNAC document, by the way, race-specific bioweapons, gene-specific bioweapons. But it's important to get to the end goal, which is that we don't know where things are going to go. We know that the COVID pandemic was a big step forward for this clique, for the global elites, to move us towards the post-human world. And it's very possible that this war might move us in that direction if it kicks off into something bigger. Now, a lot of analysts think that it won't turn into a global war. In fact, I had a conversation with a prominent colonel, and he was of the opinion that, Putin doesn't want this kind of a war. And so it's very possible that that won't happen, but we don't know. But if it does, and or if it's something else, you know, if it's a bio release, I mean, this seems to be a very hot topic when it comes to the global elites, given that they had a Wuhan lab where we have this alleged leak. I think it's proven now to have come out of the Wuhan lab, according to the mainstream narrative now, which is admitted. And you had these labs in Ukraine, which were admitted eventually to be very dangerous, very important, right there next to Russia. So it's starting to look like, you know, they really like this this virus narrative, or this bio release, or this, the zombie virus release story or something like this. Who knows where it's going to go? But if that's the route, then, you know, we might have two things. We might have a global war and a bio release. And I think Alex usually talks about how they'll probably do both. We might have a global war, and then they'll release the bioweapons, or they'll release the bioweapons and then we'll have a global war. Maybe the bioweapon stuff is a false flag. Maybe the bioweapon is the cause for the global war to ramp up, to ratchet up. Who knows? But regardless, we do know what the end goal is, and that there's every possibility that we will eventually see in our lifetime a giant global war. We can't control that. We can try to stop that. But if we understand the dangers here, then we can be aware of, you know, avoiding this conflict at all costs. It's not going to be good for anybody to have that happen. And remember that the people in the West pushing this do explicitly have a doctrine of Malthusianism, where they do want a post-human world, and to bring in, after a mass depopulation event or series of events, a final transhumanist government, a top-down robot-run global government. Now, that might take, it might be 2050 before they get to that. But that is the admitted and stated goal by the people who run the West and who have this attitude and this strategy. Now, I think Vladimir Putin is a realist. He's pragmatic. And so I'm sure he's interested in integrating technology that he sees as useful for his country as well. But I don't know that you have on the part of Russia or any of these other countries outside of the NATO sphere an explicit doctrine of attempting to bring about a post-human world. And that's the big thing here. So does that make everybody in the West party to this? No, I don't think so. I think most people in the West wouldn't agree that we need to get rid of most people on the planet, right? They would see this as something kind of weird and sort of maniacal, very mad science, tyrannical type of thing. And so most people don't believe that, but we don't understand that our elite in the West do believe this. They're 100% committed to this. They have meetings where they publicly talk about it and how to get to these goals. And so we have to be aware of this, and we have to realize that it's entirely possible that they could use, global war or bio release. You know, the first time I called into Alex Jones many, many years ago, I think back in 2006 or 7, and I had just seen the movie I Am Legend. And I had a conversation with Alex over that, and he said, hey, call back Monday. So I called back Monday, and we had a longer conversation about the movie, because that dystopian movie presented a post-war bio-release zombie virus scenario, right? And it's just wild to see, you know, here we are in 2020 after this fake crisis of the last 3 years, or ramped up fake crisis, which was now proven to be related to a leak from the West, in terms of Wuhan lab. And here we are with a vast bio release and then a bunch of death stabbies that everybody has unfortunately submitted to and gone along with. And so are we looking at an I Am Legend scenario? You know, the great irony here is that, you know, again, 2007, I first called in, and that's what we talked about. And here we are, many, many years later, and it looks like they went with that I Am Legend type of scenario, even though everybody's not dead from a bioweapon. I'm not trying to say that. Obviously, that's not the case. But what I'm saying is that the people who are in charge, they do seem to like this bio-release scenario. They do seem to like this idea and this approach, and they do work on gene-specific, race-specific bioweapons, according to them, according to their papers, their public policy white papers. And so is that really where we want to go? Do we want to be ruled by an elite that are hell-bent on Malthusian depopulation? And until we recognize that it's not communists, it's not socialists, It's not even the corporations themselves. It's that the elite of these corporations, of these private entities, they are all on the same page, openly. Fortune 100, Fortune 500, the big banks, etc. And this is their game plan. And it's in all their books. It's in Klaus's Fourth Industrial Revolution book. The last third of the book is about this bringing in the Skynet technocracy. If you want to get my books, go to Jay's Analysis and get them in the shop.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.